Genesis chapter 4, begin reading at verse 8. The Bible said, "And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it come to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face I shall be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden." In verse 12, God speaking said that Cain should be a fugitive and a vagabond. A vagabond. Just a couple of verses down, verse 14, Cain now speaking said, "I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond." I want to preach for a little while this evening on when God takes away your farm. When God takes away your farm. Jesus, Master, Savior of the world, anoint me, help me, God. Right now, Lord, please, I pray to reach for you, some lost soul, some hurting soul, some dying soul. God, to turn somebody around, to find somebody in their broken place, find somebody in their rebellious place. God, convict and convince us tonight, God, to be more like you, to accept you, to live in your will, the safety and the shelter, God, of your holy commandments and oracles and statutes and precepts. I thank you, Jesus. I love you. I praise you in advance. I glorify you ahead of time. For what you're going to do with these few words, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. There are consequences on earth. Yes, I understand there are consequences in eternity, but there are also consequences here on earth. And you can oftentimes tell what your eternal consequences are going to be just by looking at your earthly consequences. Sin and wrong choices will lead to the ultimate consequence of being separate from God. Yes, hell will be eternal separation from God, but sometimes it is an earthly consequence to be separated from God here and now. Every saint that's ever served God for very long, every sinner that's ever not known God and not been close to God, or backslider that's ever gone away from God, has felt at some point in their life the consequence of sin being separate from God. Not feeling loved, not feeling embraced, not feeling protected. In my Christian walk, in my experience serving the Lord for the last 15 years, there's been times when I wasn't doing God's will. I know preachers and Pentecostals, we're not supposed to admit that while we were saved, we did something wrong. That paints the wrong picture of what we've proclaimed over the years. But I'm telling you, not for anybody else, I'm telling you for myself, I have made mistakes. I have even sinned since I was originally saved. Thank God I saw the consequences of my mistakes and my consequences of my sin, and I repented and I prayed through and I got a hold of God. And I'm telling you, there's people all over the world that have been separated off times, different times from the presence of God. We know what it's like sometimes. We're not supposed to admit it. We don't want to talk about it, but we know what it's like to be in a church service, a revival service, a camp meeting service. See the power of God falling. Know that the Holy Ghost is falling on people, godly men and women that we trust and respect, and we know they're close to God, and we feel nothing. We feel the consequence of separation, or the consequence of sin, which is separation from God, not feeling Him always. Now, I know sometimes He lets you walk through dry places. I know there's trials that God puts before us, but there's also times that what we are feeling is nothing more and nothing less than a consequence of our sin, a earthly separation from God that is lovingly correcting us to hopefully help us change our ways and not have to feel that eternal separation from God. In chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, God drove Adam out of the garden. That was the consequence of sin. It was a earthly separation from God. And here in chapter 4, one chapter later, God drives Adam's seed, Cain, out of his presence also. Adam was driven out of a peaceful, unlaborious paradise to have to labor and till the ground. And then Cain is cursed from the earth and not even allowed to do that. He is now a fugitive and a vagabond. Vagabond means a wanderer. And I am preaching tonight about when God takes away your farm, but the topic, the gist, is that feeling of being a wanderer. That gypsy-like spirit, that thought that settles in your mind, in your conscience, in your heart, in your life, where you look back over what you've done and said and thought the last few days, the last few weeks, the last few months, the last several years, and you realize, I'm really accomplishing nothing. I'm not getting anywhere. My purpose isn't seemingly being fulfilled. I'm a wanderer. Cain, like his father, was to tend the earth. This tending of the earth was part of the relationship that God left intact with man. I don't want to lose anybody here. I know that when God sent man out of the garden to plow the fields and plant seeds, I know that was punishment. But we have got to get to the place where we realize, as we read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, I know God gets angry. I know God has fury. I know God has wrath. I take none of those things away from the Word of God. But the story as a whole is the story of the love of God. Even much of God's punishment is punishment out of love. Probably all of his punishment is punishment out of love. I am of the opinion that the church and the Christians need to get more bold and more aggressive about our society, but they don't need to get more mean. They don't need to get more abusive. God wasn't mean and abusive. God was aggressive, but he was aggressive through his love. And I understand that God sent man to farm and till the ground and plow the ground, and this was punishment for sin, but the mercy of God and the grace of God was always mingled in with the punishment. And the fact that their punishment was to farm and not do something else was God leaving a part of his relationship intact. To see daily miracles was both a conviction of my sin and a blessing to know that God was still there. It was a miracle of my punishment that water plus sun still caused vegetation to grow. It was a miracle of my punishment that from a seed still came a tree or some fruit. The seed could die of itself but still live in a better form. This was punishment, the farming. I wasn't supposed to sweat. I wasn't supposed to work. But at least I know when I put a seed in the ground and moisture touches it and the earth wraps itself around it and the seed dies and I come back a few days later to work where I wasn't supposed to work and sweat when I wasn't supposed to sweat, but I see that little blade of grass poking up through the ground and I realize at least I know God's still there. I want somebody to realize tonight, I know you're miserable. I know you're wandering. I know you're a vagabond. I know you feel helpless and hopeless. I know control, but stop and realize for just a minute, when you do something bad and you feel conviction prick your heart, when somebody reaches out to you with a scripture or a word or a gospel song that touches your mind and reminds you of days gone by, when God sends a help by for you that you don't deserve, when the money comes right on time, when a friend comes by to console, you should realize, yes, I'm being punished, yes, I'm a wanderer, yes, I'm out of control, but at least there's still a God. And maybe I'm not feeling God, but I know somebody that is. Maybe I'm not praying, but I heard of somebody that was. That lets you know there's still hope, there's still mercy, there's still grace. Adam and Cain were tilling the ground. It was their punishment, but God left them in a place where at least they could realize He is still there. Hallelujah. Oh, help me reach somebody, Jesus. I don't know if you've ever heard a third or fourth generation farmer talk about growing or talk about his land. I was raised part of my life in a farming community around Nissa, Oregon. And I'm telling you, when you hear a third or fourth generation farmer talk about farming, they're not talking about a job. There is something about farming. I'm the farthest thing in the world from a farmer, but there is something about farming that I can realize. It's not like being a mechanic. It's not like being a plumber. It's not like being a retail salesman. Farming is not just a job. It's a lifestyle. It gets in your blood. It's practically a religion to some people. Cain didn't just lose his dignity or his status in society. He lost something so great. I hope you understand. The high school that I went to, it would have been nothing for a fight to break out of the parking lot over what's better, a John Deere or an International Case Harvester. I'm telling you, farmers, there's something about that particular job that gets deep down inside you, and it means more than just making a living. And that particular job is what Adam had and what Cain had. And when God took his farm away, it did not just take his dignity. It did just not just take his status. He lost his balance on life. He lost his equilibrium with the world. He lost his ability to stay grounded. He lost his farm. He was banished from his native place to be a fugitive and a wanderer in other places. Something happened here. God's trying to show us more than he just took a young boy's job away. He took something from him that meant everything. And there are people out there that we're dealing with in the ministry. And maybe somebody can hear me right now while I preach this message. You didn't just lose your job. You didn't just lose your wife. You didn't just lose your children. You didn't just lose your position. But you feel like you're spinning out of control. You feel like that gypsy, that wanderer, that vagabond like Cain was. You feel like you've lost everything. You've lost your ability to stay right. And that's something God's trying to show us. And I understand what it's like to find out that Cain lost the place in his native home. He had to go away from where he came. Listen to me. Let me explain something right here. It was extra punishment for Cain, not just to lose his farm, not just to lose his place, but to have to go away from where he was raised. I hate to always bring up my past, but here I'm going to do it again. I was, as a young boy, I was a thief, I was a punk, I was a liar, I was a drunkard as a young boy. And in my home community, I can remember walking down the street late one night, several blocks from my father's home, on my way back home in the middle of the night, several hours later than somebody my age should have been. And I specifically remember a light coming on just a few blocks from my dad's house. And it was late and nobody should have been up, especially a young boy like myself. And I watched the face of an elderly woman that is from the community I was raised in. I watched her face as she looked out the window. I walked right directly by her house and by her window. Her eyes met mine and mine hers. I noticed something on her face Jesus, she began to shake and wag her head back and forth as she looked at me. I noticed two very important things. Number one, I noticed disgust and disdain. I knew that she knew that I was the one that broke into the store. I knew that she knew that I was the one that stole the liquor. I knew that she knew I was the one disrupting the community and causing so much trouble in town. This young boy that she was looking at, she had disgust and disdain for. But I also noticed she had one other thing. She also had sympathy. She also had pity. Not necessarily pity for me, but pity for my family. You see, she knew my father. When she got in trouble and her well went down, my dad went down and dug her a new well and never charged her anything because he knew she couldn't afford it. She knew my dad to be a hard-working, upstanding, moral man that would do anything for anybody. She knew my mama. She went down to the cafe in the morning and used to eat breakfast down there with her husband before he passed away. And my mama served their coffee and told them jokes and laughed with them and sat with them and went through things with them. And she saw me to be the son of some people that didn't deserve a son like me. She knew I wasn't raised like this. She knew I wasn't. I knew better than this. She knew I'd been taught morals and sanity, even though I wasn't living them very well at all. I want somebody to understand when you're in your environment where you can't. Some of you people out there, some of you young people that have strayed far from home, you're going to acknowledge what I'm saying. When you were home, there, yes, people were upset at you. Yes, people were mad at you, but there was a comfort zone. They knew you as a little child. They remembered who you used to be. They had pity and sympathy for your family. But see, I left the area that I was raised in, and I went down to San Francisco, California. And I roamed the streets down there and I pulled some of the same junk down there that I'd been pulling up in my hometown. Still breaking into places, still stealing liquor and drinking and causing trouble. And I can remember a day when people saw me walking down the street and they looked at me and they shook their heads and wagged their heads at me. And I remember seeing something similar in their eyes as I saw that little old lady back home where I was from. But something was missing. This time they just had disgust. This time they just had disdain. This time there was no pity. This time there was no mercy. They did not know that my dad was a hard-working man. They did not know my dad would give the shirt off his back. They did not know that I was raised better. They never knew me as a little boy playing t-ball. And what happened was this man Cain was punished. He lost his farm. He lost his dignity. He lost his status in society. He lost his balance on life, his equilibrium with the world, his ability to stay grounded, and he was banished from his native place. God was saying, when I cast you out of the garden, I gave you a dirty job called farming to do, but I left the relationship there. And if you're going to abuse that relationship, it's my job as God, who loves you, who created a place in heaven for you, who is the opposite of the devil that's trying to drag your soul to hell, that you would burn and be punished for eternity. It is my job to take more and more and more away from you, trying to spare you from hell, trying to save you from the devil's eternity. I've got to punish you more. I've got to make it worse. I've got to find a way to get you more miserable, that before you leave this earth, you will turn and come back to me. Adam had to till the ground, but he still had that semblance of a relationship. He still knew God was making miracles. Cain lived so bad, murderous, hard, murderous life, that he even lost that. Listen to me, the original employments of men were the agricultural and the pastoral. The first two jobs God ever allowed mankind to have, this is very, very important, was agricultural and pastoral. You were allowed to grow crops or you were allowed to raise animals, cows and sheep. They seemed to both be necessary for actual human survival. Animals were originally killed by God for the covering of mankind, but after Adam and Eve left the garden, they were used for skins and very likely for food. The only reason this is important is to show that even after man had sinned, he was not a mere gatherer of acorns. He was not a mere range-roaming hunter. He was not even just a wandering nomad. Every historian, every scientist that disagrees with the biblical accounts and truths always takes us far enough back in our lineage. The theory always says somewhere, if you go far enough back, you will find that humans were wanderers. That is a lie. Humans were never wanderers. The idea that if you go far enough back in the American people, far enough back in the European people, far enough back in the Middle Eastern people, you will always find wanderers. This is not true. In Eden, man began with horticulture, the highest form of rural life that God provided because itself was self-sustaining. After the fall of sin, fall and sin of man, man descended to the cultivating of the field and the tending of the cattle. God's original plan was for us to pick the fruit in the garden. Then he put us in a place where we plowed and tilled the ground and eventually to the place where we raised cattle and sheep. But here's the thing, friend. When you are farming or when you are ranching, you still have a home. You still have a settled mode of living. You still have daily tasks and daily purpose. It was not just survival. It was touching the earth from which we came and watching God from which he brought forth and created and invented and made miracles. There was still a connection there. This is why when you find people, societies that have morals and structure, there are always homes and family units, and all of these things are intact, whether they believed in God or not, whether they knew about God or not. The conscience itself designed that man should have a place to live and a woman to love and children to raise. This is built into society. The idea that if you go far enough back, there were cavemen just dragging women around by the hair like wild animals. It's not so. Man was created with a place to live. Man was created with duties to take care of. And even when man sinned, and Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and Seth were all out there, they had a stable mode and purpose of living. Look at our young people. Look at the children. Look at the teenagers and the 20-somethings that end up on drugs, that end up on alcohol, that end up committing adultery and sleeping around and having multiple marriages by the time they're 30 years old. What happens to most of them? Most of them end up wandering around. They're wanderers. They're vagabonds. Who's camped out on the streets of New York and Chicago and Oakland right now, claiming to be against the government and against the Wall Street? Most of them, look at them. I know not every one of them, but look at them. There's wanderers and vagabonds and hippies and gypsies and all these different things we've had down through the years. The hippies, the gypsies, the wanderers, they always lead to drugs. They always lead to sexual promiscuity, because what God wants, what stability? God wanted a home. You get young people that are living more and more ungodly, and they don't get up till 10, 11 o'clock or noon in the morning, and you got them staying out till 3, 4, 5 o'clock the next day. No structure, no time clock, no alarm clock. God is showing somebody in Genesis chapter 4 that even in his punishment, he wanted people to have structure, that he could reach them, that they would feel sane, that they would feel like they had a purpose, that there was still a connection there. And when Cain went clear beyond God, God said, I'm taking away your farm, which meant I'm taking away everything. When God drove out Cain, He took it all away. He took his farm, which took his stability, which took his purpose. It took away his way of being useful to himself and to those around him. It took his part in society. It literally bordered on taking his very sanity. Cain himself said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Oh God, help me. I'm asking you tonight, dear listener, are you here? Are you where Cain is? Have you lost your form? Have you lost your stability, lost your purpose? Do you ask yourself, why am I going to even live any longer? Why am I even here? I can't be helpful to my family. I can't be helpful to myself. Have you lost your way of being useful to yourself and those around you? Is the only satisfaction and joy you ever get is doing something for somebody else? Has God taken away your part in society? Is it bordered on taking your very sanity? Have you lost your purpose? Are you a mama that your own sins don't let you be around your babies no more? Are you a daddy that your own sins don't let you be around your wife and your children no more? Did it wind you up in jail? Did it wind you up in a homeless shelter? Did it wind you up living off of friends and family because you can't take care of yourself? Does it drive you crazy in the wee hours of the middle of the night? Has God taken away your farm? You listen to me and you listen good, friend. God punishes sometimes. And it is the love of God that is punishing us. He's trying to get through to us as stubborn and rebellious and anti God like that we have been. He is having to get stronger and stronger and stronger in his punishment to try to get us to respond before it's too late. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 15, it said he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and said unto himself, this is the story of the prodigal son. He said he enjoined himself to a citizen of that country and he sent him into his fields. Say that with me real fast. Say fields. To feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. There's something beautiful right here I want to show you real fast if I can. Here's the prodigal son, raised right, taught right, lived right, believed right. No doubt at some point, he worked on a farm. He worked in fields. But it wasn't good enough for him. And he made his way out and he found different things that society had and tried different things that the world had to offer. And he got worse and worse and worse until he was nothing but a wanderer, a vagabond, a gypsy, if you will. He found himself begging. He found himself trying to find somebody to let him stay somewhere so he didn't have to stay under a bridge. And somebody let him stay there, but they made him practically a slave. And he went out, and he went into a field, the Bible said, to feed swine. When he was out there in that field, something happened. I believe what happened is when this young man was in the middle of the city, surrounded by the lights and in the bars and in the clubs, surrounded by the neon and all the hard rock music and the fast, loud country and western swing and all the smoke in the air and all the drink in the glass and all of those things. I don't think he could really think straight and remember straight and comprehend right. But he finally hit rock bottom. God took more and more and more away from him till he got him to a place that he might see. And he got out there in a field, away from the limelight, away from the neon, away from the drinks and the smoke and the dancing girls. And he began to look around and something happened. The Bible said he came to himself. You know what happened? He looked around. He said, I remember this. I remember what a field is like. I remember what it's like to be in a field with animals and tools and implements. I remember this. This reminds me of my childhood. This reminds me of the good old days. This reminds me of what I missed and what I left. I don't know why I didn't want this. I've seen it over and over again, and so have many of you. People raised in a good godly home. People raised in a good Bible-believing church. And they get out in the world and they sin more and more, and God takes more and more away from them, and they get hurt more and more. And something happens and they end up in a homeless shelter, or they end up begging for food or money, or they end up crawling back to a family member for help, and somebody somehow, thank God, gets them in a church service. And then just for a minute the Spirit of God falls, and just for a minute they get away from the limelight and away from the smoke and mirrors and tricks of the devil, and away from all the loud noise that the world is making, and the Spirit of God moves, and we begin to sing Amazing Grace, and the preacher preaches, and the dear old saint and grandma testify, and all of a sudden they look around and they begin to come to themselves, and they say, I remember what this feels like, smells like, tastes like. I remember the homey feeling of being in the house of God. I remember what it's like to be loved and wooed by the Spirit. I remember the safety of the shelter of the almighty arms of heaven. I remember this. I don't know why I ran away. How do you know, Brother Sloggett? How do you know? Let me give you a hint. Where I read to you in Luke 15:15, it said, send him into his fields. And that's when he came to himself. And if you go down just 10 more verses in Luke 15:25, it just showed us a picture of the younger son. But now all of a sudden it shows us a picture of the older son. And it says, now his elder son. Now his elder son was in the fields. Big brother stayed home. Stayed in the field. It was hard work. It was difficult. It got rough at times, but he always stayed in a place where God could move. And when the younger son wandered to all the places that God didn't move, and some would say by chance, but actually by mercy, he ended up back in a field, and it reminded him of where he belonged. This prodigal son is another boy, just like Cain, who lost his farm, but there was some little something that stirred him in just the right way, and he said, wait a minute, I can go back. It's as if he forgot or never even thought that I can go back. The devil lies to so many. I've witnessed and talked to and preached to and prayed with so many that said, I've sinned too much sin. I've gone too far. Some of us don't know what it feels like to feel like that. And we think, well, that's just a cop out or an excuse. You ought to live like some of these people live for just a few days. You go running back as fast as you can. But they were tricked and they were trapped and they were lied to, and they believed for some period of time that that's just who they are. That's just how it's going to be. And there's no real acceptance. And shame on the church, because sometimes we are the face of Christianity to the lost. And the devil's already lying to them and saying, God's not going to take you back. God's through with you. God hates you. God rejects you. God rebukes you. And they get around some church people, and the first thing they realize is that the church people hate them, and the church people despise them, and the church people reject them. So surely that must be true. What the devil says about what God would do, because God's people are doing it. Oh, help us, Jesus. God, oh God, oh God. He said, I can go back. Somebody hear me. Somebody please hear my broken heart tonight. You can go back. It may not be perfect. It may not be exactly the same. He may not turn it all the way back around, but it'll be worth it. You can go back. This young prodigal son, he forgot about the games. He came to himself. He let the chip fall from his shoulder. See, he said, make me a servant. And he went back to where he belonged and he accepted responsibility for his farm again. And I'm asking you tonight before I close this message, who wants to go back? Who wants to go back? Who wants to make it right? Who wants to get up tomorrow morning with meaning again, with purpose again? I know a particular young man in his early 20s, raised in a godly holiness home, slipped away the last couple of years and went out and served the devil and served himself. He's always up all hours of the night and sleeping during the day and just eating all kind of crazy junk food and stuff, never having a decent meal and hardly have clean clothes on half the time and can't hardly hold down a job. And then God got him in a place where he felt conviction. He came back and he prayed through several months ago. And I watched that young man through the days and through the weeks and through the months lately. And I watch him. He's always got a clean shirt on. He's always got a decent haircut. He's always held down a solid job ever since. He's always, best I can tell by my boys and different ones being friends of him, you know, he goes to bed at a decent time and he gets up in the morning and gets off to work on time. And isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that structure goes hand in hand with sanity and spirituality and morality? And vagabonds and wanderers and gypsies and drifters seem to go hand in hand with immoral living, with a broken conscience, with people that are running from God. I deal with a lot of homeless people. Y'all know I have homeless mission works. And I tell you, when I talk to the homeless people and they don't care what time they go to bed because it doesn't matter what time they get up and they just don't have nothing to do and nowhere to go and it's just such a hopeless cycle. But we get these young men praying and trying and putting forth effort. We start bringing them to the thrift store. We start making them punch the clock and take timed breaks and report to responsible people and come under authority and do all these different things on time and on a schedule. Be at a certain place. Be there at a certain time. And that alone begins to put confidence back in them and give them a chance and a hope and a want to again. Friend, don't you want to get up in the morning with purpose? When your eyes open and your conscience comes around and the sunlight breaks through the window, would you rather feel, oh, what now? Or would you rather feel, I've got to go. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got responsibilities. I've got something to do. People count on me. People trust me. People believe in me. God wants to use me. Wake up, friend. Shake yourself. Stir yourself. Look around. Look for the field. You don't need to be a wanderer. You need to put your hand at the plow and never look back again. Are you the one that God took your farm away? He did it because of your sin. He did it because of your stubbornness. He did it because of your rebellion. But he did it because he loves you. He did it because he wanted to get you to a place. And I pray, dear God, I pray that that place is right here, right now. Let's pray. Mighty God in heaven. God, you've stirred me more tonight. You've broken me more tonight than you have a lot lately in these messages, in these sermons. God, it's as if I believe. I feel a pulling in my heart and my soul across these internet lines, God, these airwaves, God, however it works, Lord, I don't even understand that you're tugging on both sides. You're pulling at somebody right now. You're reaching for somebody right now. They're a wanderer. They're a drifter. They're a vagabond. They're a gypsy. They have no sound spiritual compass. They are feeling the effects of their sin right now, God. You're punishing them for things they've done, but you're loving them and reaching for them and trying to make it hard enough that they'll feel the need to come back. Let some boy, some girl, some man, some woman, when they hear this sermon, God, let them decide to come back. Come back and take the responsibilities of, I know it's hard, I know it's a responsibility, I know there's structure and difficulty, but it's so much better. It's where we belong. It's where we were created to be. It's safest. It's happiest. And it'll help us live that victorious Christian life that'll cause us to miss hell and make heaven. Do it in the soul right now. If I never know about it, if I never hear about it, if they don't send a message or a comment, I never see him face to face, I don't care, God, just change their eternity and take them to heaven and get the glory for it. In Jesus' holy, righteous name, I pray. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Jesus.